Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We're here in the Leaders Portfolio studio with the president and owner of Kimmick Software Systems, Ms. Jean Kimmick Roberts. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's nice to be here.
Now, KSSI is your company. It was founded in 1994 and located in Columbia, Maryland. It provides system and software engineering to the intelligence community. And Jean was the 2012 Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, 2012 Maryland winner for defense and security. And so, Jean, let's talk a little bit about your kind of transition to owning KSSI. You started out as a software engineer. At some point, you became a consultant. And then at some point, you started KSSI.
Right. When I graduated from college in 1980, I went to work for a small software engineering company that did business with NSA. Primarily, actually, they did more business with Rome Air Force Development Center, and they had one NSA contract, which they put me on. And that allowed me to get a start in the NSA industry as a software engineer. From there, I moved to Maryland when they bid a job and they wanted me to move with that job. Unfortunately, they lost the job, but as a result of traveling to Maryland several times, I took a job with ESL. They were owned by TRW at the time, and continued as a software engineer for the next 2 years, and then went to Booz Allen and Hamilton as a software engineer for the 2 years following that. And then after that, I got the opportunity to go out as an independent software engineer, and I subcontracted myself to a few companies, and then in 1994 incorporated. And my government customer, or one of them, called me one day and said, "Hey, Gene, some of the work you did for us in our prior contracts would be very useful on my current contract. If you can find a couple more software engineers like yourself, I'd be happy to help you get a sole source." So that's how we really started the company, and that was our first contract. And from there, we just added more people, and I've looked for more and more contracts.
And do you ever go back to the days where you wish you were just a sole consultant?
My technical skill set is probably way outdated to be able to do that. But, yeah, certainly there were some fun times in just being on your own doing software development without having as much responsibility as you have as an owner of a company with a lot of employees that you feel very obligated to find new opportunities for on a continual basis. But it's fun doing this as well.
And you've moved towards doing more management of the company and not utilizing your technical skills anymore.
Right. So now primarily what I'm always doing or my business team is doing is trying to find more contracting opportunities. We write a lot of proposals to hopefully win work or join large primes, hoping that they, together with us and other small businesses, can help win work so that we can find opportunities for our people and then find and hire additional employees as well.
And your business, KSSI, focuses on the intel community. So I would imagine that, obviously, certain employees need your clearance, but I would also imagine that you might have restrictions, like if you had a subcontractor, they can't work from home maybe, or like how does that affect that part of your business model?
Certainly no one in our business is allowed to work at home. Everybody does have to work in a cleared space. And so it affects us in the sense of it's harder to find. There's not the supply of employee base is smaller. You're trying to look for people that are either already cleared or clearable to work in this space.
Now, and when you say cleared space, like, for example, as an employer, do you have to have all rooms, locked rooms instead of cubicles?
The cleared secure facilities are like that. Us as a small business, we haven't, they refer to that as a SCIF, a secure compartmented facility, and that's not exactly the right meaning for the acronym, but it's basically a secure facility. And the SCIFs are primarily owned by the large businesses, but more and more small businesses are building and trying to obtain them. We've thought about obtaining one in the next year or two, and it's still a possibility out there. Right now, we look to lease or work within our large prime business SCIFs.
And you are prime and a subprime
Yes.
as well, yeah.
Yes, we have a couple. I think we have 4 prime contracts right now, 2 of which we have several KSSI employees on, 2 of which some of our teammates are primarily doing the staffing because we're a small business prime for our industry as well.
And talk about your company mission says you're woman-owned small business. So talk about the pros and cons of being a small business and being woman-owned?
The pros and cons of small business are always challenging in the sense of trying to find large primes that want to have small businesses as their teammates. Women-owned business, I don't know that it has helped or hurt us either way. It's a check mark on a box that we always have to check when we're filling out our certifications and representations for government contracting. They have talked about providing more contracts to women-owned businesses.
But you
I haven't seen that happen. I haven't seen it myself. So,
interesting. And would it be easier if you were a large business, in your opinion?
Potentially, I think the large businesses obviously have most of the work, and they can. It's easier for them, I think, to lower prices than a small business is able to do.
Now, your website said that KSSI, and we're speaking with Ms. Jean Kimmick Roberts, the president of an owner, has an average retention rate exceeding 90% since the corporation 1994. So the first thing I thought was, okay, is that a yearly retention rate or, you know, every 3 years or et cetera? And then talk about kind of what leadership principles do you think you've imparted to achieve that?
I think it's probably an average over the last 3 years, if I remember how we calculated that correctly. In terms of trying to maintain the retention, in terms of types of things we try to do to differentiate ourselves in this business, I think we do a lot of hands-on relationship building with the employees. I've tried to build a relationship with employees so that I know if they're having issues on their program, we try to help fix those if we can. If we can't, we try to move people to new programs if there's a personality or just a skill set difference or just an interest difference sooner than later, if possible. I think coming from a software engineering background myself, I know that after a year or two on the same program, software engineers get antsy and want to do something new. So we will make sure we're in touch with the software engineers on a regular basis to see if they've hit that point, because we'd rather move them to a new program ourselves rather than they decide to go to another company to find a new program. We also provide a training budget annually for all the employees to use to help keep their technical skills up. We try to provide some just fun events during the year to try to keep the group somewhat cohesive, because everybody works in different buildings and different programs for the most part. So we do a holiday dinner, and we took everybody on a dinner cruise in Annapolis in the spring, and we're talking about doing a fall event. Haven't decided what yet. And we try to meet monthly or every other month at least as an entire group during lunch. We take the whole company out to lunch to try to get everybody to know each other. Because as we've grown, some of the folks that have been around longer don't necessarily know the newer hires.
Mm-hmm. And you also do a flexible work schedule. So your employees determine their own work schedule, including the number of hours they wish to work and the number of days they wish to take off each year. Talk about how that's worked out for you.
Okay, when we started the company, because I was an independent consultant and I was being paid by the hour, I really liked that model. And so I passed it on when we formed the company and started hiring people. That a lot of companies put a lot of pressure on people to work 40 or 50 hours, at least when I started. That was especially true. And I always thought, well, if you get your work done within your customers' demands and constraints, it doesn't matter how many hours you worked, it's as long as you make your deadlines and your performance meets their expectations. So that's how we started that model. And it worked for many, many years, and it still is working today, where people can pick out the hours they want to work and the number of hours they want to work within a week, as long as it's within the customer's requirements. Some customers literally do want a set of core hours, and you might have to be there from 10 to 2 as the core base, or some of them actually demand 8 to 5. So some projects don't allow as much flexibility as others, but the idea is you should be able to work 30 hours one week and 50 hours the next week if you choose to, or maybe you work 4 9-hour days and 1 4-hour day if you choose to, based on your own personal preference.
Now, and let's get into your background in leadership philosophy. A bachelor's from where?
I actually have a master's in math from the State University of New York at Potsdam, New York.
And talk about your overall leadership philosophy.
I think my philosophy varies I'm kind of flexible depending on the situation we're in and the type of personnel we are working with. So because I sort of started the company and stayed as a single manager for a number of years with about 20 employees before we started hiring management people to help me, I've had to learn to adopt my management philosophy from a do-everything philosophy to let others help you do things. And not only that, but based on the experience level of the personnel you hire, some of them are so experienced, you don't really need to have a lot of hands-on. They're smart and able and experienced, and you can just ask for ideas, and they can run with ideas of their own. When you hire less experienced people, then you sometimes have to train them so that they have the experience and the skill set. So I try to be flexible based on who it is we've hired. In terms of the technical staff, we in the past have often looked for senior, independent technical engineers that can just be self-motivated and know what they're doing. More recently, we've been trying to hire some junior-level folks, and we have tried to put those on programs with more experienced people so they have kind of a mentor in place. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes they're put on a program with other senior people, but they're not KSSI employees, and then we try to keep in touch with them as well to make sure that they have the knowledge and information and can ask the questions that they might have.
Another question I have for you. In my theory of the panoptic leader, a leader commits to a framework of ethics. So talk to me, do you agree with that? In what ways, how so?
I agree with that for sure. And I think our model has always been based on making sure that companies can trust you, that can depend on you, that they know you're a reliable company, they know when they get a resume from you, that the content matches the actual person's experience and background. It's not something, sometimes you see resumes that maybe are exaggerated a little bit too much. We try to maintain a high sense of value and ethics and integrity throughout our relationships with other businesses.
And Jean, you grew up on a dairy farm.
Yes.
And so when you won your 2012 Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year 2000 Maryland winner, you said, "Holy cow."
Yes.
That was your immediate reaction.
Yes.
And you also said to me that you did not want to do the dairy farm, and so this was your alternative path.
Yes. So when I went to college, I knew I didn't want to get up at 4 a.m. to milk cows. A few years ago, my dad told me he thought I worked just as hard as he worked on his dairy farm business, and I thought to myself, no way that this is similar to his business. But over the last couple of years, I keep thinking about what he said, and as I told the group when I won, I thanked my parents for instilling the strong work ethic, and I also told them that perhaps he was right. The businesses weren't that different in the sense of he got up at 4 every day and worked until 7. I start working around 7 a.m. and don't quit to 11 a lot of days. So in that sense, it is a hard-working environment, even
That's
though it's not physical.
All right. Well, thanks, Jean, for being with us in Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you. Thank you
very
much.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
I want to thank our supporters of Leadership, our Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We'll be back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coal Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coalarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coalarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.